This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good Friday morning to you, TGIF. We finally made it. It's August 28th, 2026. 71 degrees outside right now under clear skies at 7:06. And we have got a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in on some of these. Two people are dead following a massive explosion in Sand Springs. What investigators are saying about that tragedy. Higher than usual turnout for Tuesday's primary election runoff. Are you surprised? I sure was. A drunk driver, friend of Governor Kevin Stitt, who seriously hurt a young woman in a crash and who, coincidentally, also got a pretty nice sweetheart deal afterwards, wants to avoid prison time. Apparently, she's the victim here, and her constitutional rights are being violated, to say nothing of the poor girl who will be spending the rest of her life severely impacted by her horrible actions. We'll be talking about that one coming up. Well, DHS is taking steps to combat fraud. About time. But will it be enough? And the governor wants to change the Constitution, but does he have the right to do it? We're going to get into the weeds on that one in just a little bit. We want to take your calls, too, at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Plus, it's a First Responder Friday. The Oklahoma City Fire Department will be stopping by to talk about the burn ban. And as we return to those triple-digit temperatures that we're seeing coming up this weekend, and we'll be talking about a huge crash they just recently dealt with. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. Well, two people are dead following an explosion at a business in Sand Springs early yesterday morning. Fire Chief Jeremy Wade said the blast happened just after 1 o'clock in the morning at a business on South Lincoln. About 15 nearby businesses may have been damaged, and utilities were shut off in the surrounding area. Businesses between Main and Adams remain closed until authorities give the all clear. Investigators have not yet determined what caused that explosion. Police and the fire marshal are investigating both the blast and the deaths. Oklahoma saw higher-than-usual voter turnout for Tuesday's runoff election, driven by major statewide races and two state questions. More than 371,000 Republicans voted for the governor's runoff between Mike Mazey and Gettner Drummond, about 29% of registered Republicans. Now, more than 360,000 people also voted in the Republican runoff for state superintendent. State question 846 drew the most votes, with more than 535,000 Oklahomans voting. It passed with 55%, adding voter ID requirements to the state constitution. State question 844 was rejected by 74%. The woman at the center of the controversy over Governor Kevin Stitt's calls to the Department of Corrections is suing to avoid returning to prison. Sarah Paulston was released just 73 days into an 8-year sentence for a drunk driving crash that left a woman with severe life-altering brain damage. Lawmakers later changed the state law to prevent inmates convicted of causing great bodily injury while driving drunk from using the GPS system. Corrections officials plan to send Paulston back to prison on November 1st. Her lawsuit argues that the new law violates her constitutional rights. Attorney General Gettner Drummond says Paulston belongs in prison. She sure as hell does. We want to talk about that later on this hour. Again, for her to be creating such a crisis and then claiming to be the victim, yeah, we're going to bash her pretty good at about 7:45, so make sure you're here for that. Oklahoma's Department of Human Services is taking new steps to combat fraud in its child care system after a legislative investigation found room for improvement. The report found three people connected to DHS committed fraud, while child care overpayments resulted in more than $500,000 in losses over 1 year. Investigators also found DHS has not always pursued fraud cases or collected late payments. DHS Director Jeffrey Cartmell says the structural changes are underway, including an advisory council to oversee fraud and audits. The agency is also adding an investigator and electric sign-ins at daycares, and it's about time. A former Sunday school teacher is set to be executed on November 12th for the 2001 murder of his lover's husband in Oklahoma City. 72-year-old James Pavitt maintains his innocence. Prosecutors say Pavitt and Brenda Andrew conspired to kill her husband, Rob Andrew, shooting him in the family's garage. The pair fled to Mexico with Andrew's children after the killing, but they were arrested after returning to the U.S. Pavitt's attorneys are seeking clemency, pointing to his military service and questions about the case. Andrew is the only woman on Oklahoma's death row and continues appealing her conviction. Oklahoma's attorney general says Governor Kevin Stitt may not have the authority to call for a vote on a constitutional convention. A spokesperson for the attorney general, Gettner Drummond, says state law requires the legislature to approve a bill or joint resolution before the issue can go to voters. A constitutional law professor says the question is unclear because lawmakers have failed to follow the Constitution's requirement for a vote every 20 years. Stitt has set a special election for April 6, 2027. The vote could open up the door for changes to the Oklahoma Constitution. So let's talk about this one for a little bit. Changing the state constitution, that's a pretty big deal. If you want to weigh in on this, we certainly want to hear from you because there haven't been any changes to the state constitution in more than 50 years. And there's a reason for that. Changing the state constitution is a lot like changing the U.S. Constitution. It shouldn't be easy. So 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in on this, 405-608-4377. We want to hear from you if you want to be part of the show this morning. Here's the question. If the Oklahoma Constitution says that voters must be given the opportunity to decide whether to hold a constitutional convention every 20 years and lawmakers haven't allowed that vote for 56 years, does the governor have the responsibility to force the issue or does he have to stay in his lane and let the legislature do it? I would argue that it's probably his responsibility to because the legislature, again, is dropping the ball on its responsibility. But there's really two separate issues here that I want to emphasize. Whether Stitt has the legal authority to put the question on the ballot and whether Oklahoma should have a constitutional convention at all. So the legal dispute is particularly interesting because the Constitution clearly says the question must be submitted every 20 years, but it doesn't say who has the power to force that vote when the legislature fails to act. So here's the controversy here. Did Stitt overstep his authority? And again, we want to hear from you on this one, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Did Stitt overstep his authority? So Drummond's argument here is that the legislature has to pass a bill or a joint resolution and then the governor signs it before the question goes to voters. Stitt's argument is the Constitution itself requires the people to be given an opportunity to vote every 20 years, and it's been 56 years now since Oklahoma voters were asked to do it. So the question here is, can the legislature effectively nullify a constitutional requirement by simply refusing to act on it? Steve is joining us right now from Tecumseh, wants to talk a bit about this. Good morning, Steve. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I just have two words.
Sure.
Term limits.
Dude,
get it in there.
100%. And we've got term limits for our legislature and for our governor.
I didn't realize that.
But that said, it's incumbent upon voters. If these guys aren't doing their jobs, man, we got to do a better job of pushing them out. And this is consistently a problem. How do we go 56 years without fulfilling a constitutional mandate?
Well, yeah, just ignore it. And instead of the source, we're a state that was a hideout for outlaws, and we were started by outlaws.
Yeah, so. And now the outlaws are at the Capitol.
Exactly.
Steve, thanks for calling in this morning, man. I appreciate you. So is Stitt enforcing the Constitution here? Or is he simply ignoring the separation of powers? And that's the other question. This is probably the best argument for Stitt. If the Constitution guarantees for voters to vote every 20 years, shouldn't somebody, even if it's the governor, make sure that it happens? Now, again, Oklahoma hasn't had a vote since 1970. Uncle Dave was only about 85 years old back then. Stitt argues that he's simply enforcing a constitutional requirement that the legislature has ignored for decades. But the argument against it is that even if the legislature is wrong here, does that give the governor the power to make law or to put a state question on the ballot? Critics say that Stitt is essentially creating the authority for himself and that the Constitution doesn't give him the right to do that. Why should we care about this? Well, it's not just a vote about to update the Constitution. They could literally be changing the state constitution here. And that's a pretty important question to be addressing. Hey, stick around. We've got a whole lot more to talk about this morning. And thanks for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out. Freedom traffic on this Friday morning. Expect some construction delays. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound I-44 at Klassen and on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd. That's Freedom traffic.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Please listen to me carefully. It is the absolute best time to buy a new Ford truck. Now Advance Country Ford in Guthrie. Get financing terms you can't beat, like your choice of 2.9% APR for 72 months, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus two-year premium maintenance, or 0% APR for 36 months, plus zero payments up to 90 days, plus $1,000 toward your down payment, plus two-year premium maintenance. And Advance Country Ford in Guthrie, you'll get the lowest price on your new Ford truck. Vance Country Ford, only 10 minutes north of Edmond on I-35, exit 153. Vance Auto Group, also in Woodward and in Miami. It's the Ford Summer Sales Event. Go to VanceAutoGroup.com to learn more.
Offers are through Ford Credit Financing with approved credit.
John Vance Auto Group.
Sleep Number's new collections are designed to adapt to the changing nature of your life and your sleep needs. Whether it's the personalized comfort of the Comfort Mode mattress, the targeted pressure relief of the Comfort Next mattress, or the Climate Collection that actively cools or warms to help you fall asleep and stay asleep.
And now, all beds are on sale during our biggest sale of the year. Save 25% on the new Comfort Next Lux for a limited time, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Babbel proudly presents The Poison Gift.
Derek, hi.
Hi, I got you something. Ein bisschen Gift.
Gift? Ist das Gift?
Ja, ist das Gift. Für dich.
Ah!
If you buy her a gift, don't tell her it's poison. Use Babbel. Practice with Babbel's guided conversations based on real situations. Get up to 50% off on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you've got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
A possible trade war with Canada is heating up. We've got the Iran sanctions that could cripple their economy. There's a lot of news to navigate through the week. It's Eric Erickson. Listen to me live right here on Freedom 96.9, weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll dive into the news, tell you what I think about it, and take your phone calls at 877-973-7425. Again, it's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with your phone calls right here on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning and welcome back on this Friday morning. It's going to be a hot one this weekend. We're back into the triple digits again, so we're going to be seeing mostly sunny skies for today with a high of 97 degrees. Tonight, it'll be clear to partly cloudy, low of 69. On Saturday, breezy and sunny. It's going to be a hot one, high of 101 degrees. Then on Sunday, sunny and hot, even hotter, high of 102 degrees. 71 degrees outside right now under partly cloudy skies at 7:20 in the morning. Well, this heat is making our lawns look like hay. I was planning on mowing mine sometime this weekend, but there's not really a whole bunch to mow right now. Still, the burn ban has been lifted in Oklahoma County. Chief Scott Douglas with the Oklahoma City Fire Department is joining us on this First Responder Friday.
This is First Responder Friday on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck, the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Doing great. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So the burn ban has been lifted, but I'm looking at just how dry things are. There's nothing in the forecast indicating any type of rain. Are you guys worried?
Oh, yes. You know, right now, Aaron, everybody, we do have some surrounding counties that stuff some burn bans. The Oklahoma County burn ban was for 2 weeks. It was renewed and then lifted. Police treat it as it's still a burn ban going on. You know, right now, Aaron, what we're seeing is everything's just so dry and dormant, which is a concern to us. It just doesn't take much of a spark to get a, you know, wildfire moving. As we've seen the past couple of months, it's just been rough for our firefighters. We actually had a big one, I'm sure everybody saw, over towards Reno. In between Reno and Council, really kind of towards County Line Road, it hit a mobile home park there. We were on that fire for close to a week, Aaron.
Wow.
I know the news coverage just showed, you know, showed us out there a day or two, but it was an extensive operation. But it's just, Aaron, everything's just so dry. It doesn't take much to drive around Oklahoma City and see that everything is yellow. And it does. It just takes just a spark to get these things moving.
I'll tell you, I was, and again, the news does a pretty good job of covering these grass fires, but they don't cover every single one of them. I had to go down to Texas last week, and flying back in, you can actually see just how much of the Oklahoma City area has been singed by these huge wildfires. And once yep. these things start, it's very difficult to control when they're this dry. And then you add to that the red cedar trees, which just go up like crazy. Kind of talk to me about the challenges that you guys have oftentimes fighting these things.
Well, the challenge for us, Aaron, is once they get to the trees, you know, it's the one we had, you know, earlier this month, it was such a challenge. It was divided by a river. It actually caught a railroad track on fire. We had to call Union Pacific Railroad, have them shut the railroad track down.
Wow.
So they actually had to stall a train. Really, the terrain, Aaron, is the challenge for us. And once it hits the trees, my goodness, it is just, I mean, we can't drive through there. You know, some of this forestry air is just so dense. That is an extreme challenge. If it's just an open field and, you know, we can navigate that, we can navigate the terrain. We have 16 frontline brush pumpers that we can handle that. But really, the challenge for us is once it, you know, gets close to neighborhoods, it goes into trees, then it becomes an extensive operation. And we actually had to have Public Works come out and help us. They were scraping grass, trying to build a fire line for us. So they were a great help to us. We really appreciated them. And we also had some aerial operations. We had the Oklahoma City Police Department, along with our firefighters, flying a Bambi bucket. So we were throwing everything we could at it, and it's still challenging.
Well, and you couple that with the fact that it's 107 degrees outside. You guys are in full turnout gear. It's not an easy fight.
No, the heat, we're challenging many conditions. Yeah. And we have a rehab officer now that it's so hot. Cause I mean, you said it, Aaron, it's 100 plus temperatures outside and we're standing up to these structures that are on fire or wildfires. So, I mean, we're having to monitor our firefighters pretty close. And typically, you know, when we have some challenging conditions like that, we have additional resources, additional staffing come in, just really for more personnel. Throughout the month, we've had some grass fires. It's been prolonged events. We've actually had to have, an IMSA unit and one of our ambulance units on scene to give our firefighters fluids just to keep them moving. So that's an additional challenge, you know, above, you know, fighting the fires. We're having to keep a close eye on our firefighters to make sure that they're good to go.
Yeah. And when you're doing something like fighting a fire, oftentimes the adrenaline is flowing. You're laser focused on what it is that you're doing, and you're ignoring some of the cues that your body is giving you.
Sure. Yeah, and that's what we have. We have to have close eyes on these firefighters because they're very dedicated to their work, and you're exactly right. You're not really paying attention, and even the heat, that's what we tell people. We want, you know, if you're out working in this heat, you know, heat. We've had so many heat-related injuries as well and calls this month. We hope you're working in pairs. That's the most important point with firefighters is we're always working in pairs, keeping an eye on one another.
Yeah, it's a smart plan. Chief Scott Douglas with the Oklahoma City Fire Department is joining us on this First Responder Friday. We're talking a bit about the ultra-dry conditions that we're seeing right now. Again, the burn ban was lifted in Oklahoma County. You're encouraging people. We don't need the government to tell us, hey, don't burn now. A little common sense right here goes a long way. So what types of things are you telling people? Obviously, the burn ban is in effect. Don't burn any trash right now. That's just a really, really bad idea. But there are other things around the house that you can probably keep an eye on to make sure that you're not causing fires, not causing sparks. This time of year, oftentimes, we're going out to the lake. We're towing the boat. As we're towing the boat, we've got chains that are dragging, throwing sparks. Talk to me a bit about that.
You know, Aaron, it really just takes, I mean, you said it, it's just a spark. People don't realize the damage just one spark can do. I mean, we've had a multitude of causes, you know, one being discarded cigarettes. We're still seeing people flick those cigarettes out the door or out the window going down the road. We've had multiple fires started by cigarettes. So please, you know, put those out appropriately. You know, use an ashtray or some water, make sure they're completely out, but please don't be flicking them outside. We've had several wildfires started just by people being careless with their cigarette butts. We've had some welders out in the field, you know, welding on construction equipment, really just getting tunnel vision. And we've had a couple backyard fires where people were outdoor grilling charcoal, and the charcoal drops on the grass and it takes off and burns up decks and starts house fires. And, I mean, all of the above, anything that will create a spark should be at the top of your forefront mind right now, because it's just, it does. It just takes the spark to get these things going.
Yep, and probably not a bad idea to kind of keep that brush down a little bit, too, if you can. I was talking about how I probably need to mow this weekend, although there's not a whole lot to mow, but I'm seeing some of my neighboring yards where the grass is growing pretty high, and it's still very, very dry. That stuff goes up like tinder.
Yes, and, you know, when you do have a wildfire approaching your house, that's a great way to defend your home. We tell people to concentrate on the 5-foot area around their house. So keep your grass cut short. Don't store anything that burns around your property. You know, we see a lot of dog houses and firewood and trash and people storing things around their house. You want to clear all that away from your house, because essentially what you're doing, if you have a wildfire approaching your home, you're just feeding the flames. Those flames grow taller and get into the eave of your house. Also keep any debris as far as dry vegetation, your gutters clear, because when these fires go, and we've saw it several times, there's several fires that get started downwind because these embers get up in the atmosphere, and they can float downwind for up to a mile. So if that lands on your property, lands in some dried leaves in your guttering, it could catch your house on fire.
It's going right
up. So please defend your home. Yeah, so please keep that in mind, too.
One thing that I want to touch on, too, is if we do see grass fires, oftentimes we see them because people are discarding cigarettes. We see them right along highways. And yep, people need to be aware that smoke is blinding.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's the biggest message right now, Aaron, is if you see, don't assume that somebody's called 911. Please, at the first chance you see smoke, we would rather go on, you know, several false calls or it's out when we get there versus getting the call too late. So if you're out in the bad Oklahoma City metro area, please call 911. Report those fires as soon as possible, especially around the highways, like you said, Aaron. That smoke can be blinding. Several of them are started up and down the highways due to the discarded cigarettes improperly. But as soon as you see smoke in the air, please give us a call. Get us moving that way as fast as we can.
And if you're driving and you see that smoke, slow down.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, please do not drive through it. Even if there's no emergency resources on scene, and maybe you're the one leading traffic, and you'd be the cause, the reason the traffic slows down, just please slow down and drive through that cautiously.
100%. Wanted to hit you on one more, too, while we got you on the phone. You guys recently had a pretty major crash involving a semi-truck. Kind of talk to me a bit about that and the difficulties you had with that one.
Yeah, that was over there off Northwest Expressway, just a little bit west of Meridian. Had a semi-truck that was actually westbound, and still not sure the reason, Aaron, why, but he just veered to the left, crossed eastbound lanes of Northwest Expressway, drove through about four backyards, and then crashed into the back of a house.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there were people in that house. I actually talked to the homeowner she was in the bedroom next door where the semi actually crashed into the house. So imagine being in your house and you go open up a bedroom door and there's a semi truck there. And what's crazy, Aaron, is the driver still had his foot on the gas when we got there.
Really?
So we were trying to cut this guy out, and the whole semi was just vibrating, shaking, and we're like, what is going on? And we got up in there, and his foot was still on the gas.
Man, that's crazy.
So it was, we had to cut him out and get him out of there. Fortunately, there, Aaron, no injuries, but obviously quite a lot of damage to the home.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us this morning, and thank you for joining us.
USA Radio News, I'm John Summers. The verdict watch resumes today in the Lindsey Clancy murder trial in Massachusetts. President Trump says Russia has no plans to attack any NATO member state.
I don't want to comment on that, but they're not going to attack.
A federal appeals court rejected a pharmaceutical industry challenge to the federal Medicare drug price negotiation program. A new study shows a newer shingle vaccine is linked to a lower risk of dementia. Meta's promising changes to its platforms after reaching a settlement in a major social media addiction trial. Tropical storm Dolly has formed. The name Dolly was next in the rotation prior to the death of country music legend Dolly Parton earlier this week. A grand champion country ham in Kentucky sold for millions of dollars at auction. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. I do a very good job of compartmentalizing that, realizing that this is, the world's not always fun. And I have seen horrendous photographs from crashes and things. But that is not atypical. And so I try to keep in mind that the people that work for me are seeing that. And bad things happen. And my job is to help people because they come to me at the lowest of their low with no hope. And they need a voice and they need my voice. I'm there to help them at their worst of their worst. I mean, look, you can be kind or you can be unkind. Choose kind. Why not? Make the world a better place. Leave the world a better place. Make somebody happy. It's not hard. It's not hard to give a compliment. It doesn't cost you anything. So just do it. Just because I'm done being your lawyer for this case doesn't mean I'm done being your lawyer. And I try to develop a relationship with some of these clients. So if they ever need me, they can call me.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A routine traffic stop in Oklahoma recently turned into a major criminal investigation after troopers reportedly discovered explosive materials and firearms inside a vehicle. The driver was pulled over for following another vehicle too closely, and a subsequent search uncovered an active pipe bomb, smokeless powder, potassium nitrate, a detonator cord, and a rifle, as well as ammunition. That individual, whose name has yet to be released, was arrested on multiple charges, including possession of an explosive device and possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. Well, a familiar landmark in Midwest City is beginning to disappear as demolition gets underway at the former Heritage Park Mall site. Crews began tearing down parts of the property this week as part of a larger redevelopment effort. City leaders say the work is part of a long-term plan to revitalize the area. A donation of soccer balls is making its way to hundreds of young athletes in Edmond. Mayor Mark Nash received about 200 soccer balls through a FIFA program announced at a national meeting of mayors earlier this year. The donation comes just in time as Edmond soccer season gets underway soon. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Let's be honest. Medicare can get complicated fast. Too many plans, too many opinions, not enough straight answers. That's where Health 65 in Edmond comes in. We will give you a clear, straightforward guidance so you can understand your options and choose what works best for you. No runarounds, no pressure, just help when and where you need it. Hi, I'm Philip Beard. Give me a call today or visit Health65.com. That's Health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no carpet on the floor. Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no expensive decor.
Folks, at Tractor Bob's, we are touching down with the biggest savings of 2026 on all Bad Boy, Altos, and Yanmar zero-turn mowers. As we make room for the 2027 models, the choice is yours. Free, lifetime powertrain warranty, or cash discounts. See you soon, Tractor Bob's, I-240 in Shields, Oklahoma City.
TractorBob.com. TractorBob.com.
Wildfire conditions in Oklahoma can turn dangerous in minutes. Dragging chains on the highway can throw sparks. Tossing cigarettes out a window can ignite dry grass in seconds. One small mistake can turn into a fast-moving wildfire. In fact, most wildfires in Oklahoma are human-caused, especially during hot, dry, and windy conditions. The Oklahoma State Firefighters Association reminds you to do your part. Secure trailer chains, properly dispose of smoking materials, and stay aware of fire conditions before you head out. Wildfire safety starts with simple choices, and those choices can protect and save homes, land, and lives. For more information, visit us at osfa.com.
Dot info.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect mostly sunny skies with toasty conditions, reaching a high of 97. Tonight will be clear to partly cloudy with a low of 69. Tomorrow will bring breezy and hot weather with plenty of sunshine, reaching a high of 101. Sunday will be sunny to partly cloudy, staying breezy and hot with a high of 102. Looking ahead to Monday, anticipate more breezy and hot conditions with sunshine and a high of 100. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Katarina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Got a good Friday morning to you. It's August 28th, 2026. 71 degrees outside and sunny at 736. Wait, there goes the hotline. Let me grab that real quick. Sorry about that. Hang on a second. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, I ordered a chicken and an egg on Amazon. I'll let you know which one comes first.
I see what you did there. All right, let's check out your Freedom First News right now on Freedom 96.9. Well, two people are dead following an explosion at a business in Sand Springs early yesterday morning. Fire Chief Jeremy Wade says the blast happened at just after 1 a.m. at a business on South Lincoln. Around 15 nearby businesses may have been damaged and utilities were shut off in the surrounding area. Businesses between Main and Adams remained closed until authorities gave the all clear. Investigators still don't know exactly what caused that explosion. Police and the fire marshal are investigating the blast and the deaths. The woman at the center of the controversy over Governor Kevin Stitt's calls to the Department of Corrections is suing to avoid returning to prison. Sarah Polston was released after just 73 days of an 8-year sentence for a drunk driving crash that left a woman with severe brain damage. Lawmakers later changed state law to prevent inmates convicted of causing great bodily injury while driving drunk from using GPS program. Corrections officials plan to return Polston to prison on November 1st. Her lawsuit claims, and get this, the new law violates her constitutional rights. Attorney General Gettner Drummond says Polston belongs in prison. I couldn't agree with him more. We'll be talking about that at about 7:45, and brace yourself for this one. Oklahoma's Department of Human Services is taking new steps to combat fraud in its child care system after a legislative investigation found significant room for improvement. The report found three people connected to DHS committed fraud while child care overpayments resulted in more than $500,000 in losses over 1 year. Investigators also found DHS has not consistently pursued fraud cases or collected DHS payments. DHS Director Jeffrey Cartmell says the structural changes are underway, including an advisory council to oversee frauds and audits. The agency is also adding an investigator and electronic sign-ins at daycares. Well, what took you so darn long? Former Sunday school teacher set to be executed in November for the 2001 murder of his lover's husband in Oklahoma City. 72-year-old James Pavitt continues to maintain his innocence. Prosecutors say Pavitt and Brenda Andrew conspired to kill Rob Andrew, her husband, shooting him in the family garage. The couple then fled to Mexico with Andrew's children after the killing, but they were arrested after returning to the U.S. Pavitt's attorneys are seeking clemency, pointing to his military service and questions surrounding the case. Andrew, the only known woman right now on Oklahoma's death row, continues to appeal her conviction. Oklahoma's Attorney General says Governor Kevin Stitt may not have the authority to call for a vote on a constitutional convention. A spokesperson for Attorney General Gettner Drummond says the state law requires the legislature to approve a bill or joint resolution before the issue goes to voters. A constitutional law professor says the issue is unclear because lawmakers have failed to follow the Constitution's requirement for a vote every 20 years. Stitt says that he has set the special election, that is, for April 6th, 2027. The vote could ultimately open the door for major changes to Oklahoma's Constitution. Oklahoma saw higher than usual voter turnout for Tuesday's runoff election, fueled by major statewide races and two state questions. More than 371,000 Republicans voted in the governor's runoff between Mike Massey and Gettner Drummond, about 29% of registered Republicans. So more than 360,000 people also voted in the Republican runoff for state superintendent. State question 846 drew the most votes, with more than 535,000 Oklahomans participating. It passed with a 55% margin, adding voter ID requirements to the state constitution. State question 844 was rejected by 74%. So Let's talk a bit about that, because I was pretty surprised by those numbers. I thought they'd be considerably less. I'd like to hear from you on what your thoughts are on this. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Are you surprised by the numbers, and are you still concerned as we go into the midterm? So Tuesday's turnout was, let's say, encouraging, but 29% of registered Republicans is nowhere near enough if Republicans want to guarantee they keep control of Congress in November. Nationally, Democrats have shown signs of unusually strong turnout and enthusiasm in the primaries and special elections, which should be a warning to Republicans not to become too complacent. And I think that we've become complacent as we see Democrats now more and more embracing socialism. And we know that if the Democrats take over Congress and the Senate, or at very, very least the House, take over the House and the Senate, and at very, very least the House, we know that they're going to be doing nothing but going after President Trump. And he's going to spend so much time fighting court case after court case after court case, there's no way he gets anything done on his agenda. He basically becomes a lame duck president. So let's break it down then. If my math is math in here, more than 371,000 Oklahoma Republicans showed up on Tuesday. That's a pretty impressive number until you realize that it only represents about 29% of registered Republicans. And here's why I think that number matters. Republicans want to keep control of Congress in November, but they can't afford to assume that just because Oklahoma is red, the Republican vote will automatically show up. Democrats are showing signs of strong enthusiasm across the country right now. So the question this morning is a pretty simple one. Are Republican voters motivated enough to actually turn out come November? And if not, what do we do to light a fire under their butt skis? 405-608-4377 if you want to join in. 405-608-4377. I'll admit to you, I was kind of reluctant to even vote on Tuesday. Tuesday was a really busy day for me. I didn't have a whole lot of time for it. And the primary vote on the election, as far as I was concerned, was the gubernatorial election, which was Gettner Drummond and Mike Mazie. I'm not really impressed by either one of those guys. And for a few moments, I thought to myself, why even bother? Why even bother showing up for this thing? Neither one of these guys is going to do an exceptionally good job. We're voting for the lesser of two evils here. Nobody's really excited about either one of these candidates. But at the same time, if we want to keep quote-unquote democratic socialism, i.e. communism, out of our government, the only way that we can do so is by Republicans turning out in numbers. But it's so hard to get them motivated when you've got such crappy candidates. So 29% is good. It just isn't good enough. In other words, roughly 7 out of every 10 registered Republicans stayed home on Tuesday. So the message here is, if Republicans want Republican candidates to win in November, they got to actually come out and vote. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. So Oklahoma is a stark reminder that turnout determines elections. Oklahoma has more than 1.28 million registered Republicans. I think we're closer to 1.5 million at this point, representing more than half of all registered voters in the state of Oklahoma. That's an enormous potential voting block, but being a registered Republican doesn't elect Republicans. Votes do. So don't assume that Oklahoma's red status means that Republicans can stay home. And this is an important point. Just because Oklahoma's a red state doesn't mean that every Republican seat is automatically safe. The 2026 midterms will determine control of Congress. Republicans are defending a relatively narrow House majority right now. National political analysts describe the House as particularly competitive. There are a lot that are saying the House is already going Democratic. Democrats appear much more motivated than Republicans, than conservatives. Recent national analysis shows that Democratic primary turnout has been running significantly ahead of recent cycles, including some in pretty heavy Republican districts. So that doesn't mean that Democrats are going to win in November, but it should mean that Republicans shouldn't look at Oklahoma's political landscape and think to themselves, hey, we got this. Piece of cake. The midterms are more about turnouts than they are about presidential elections. We've got to kind of keep this in mind. We've still got a lot more we want to talk about this morning. Sarah Polston, the woman at the center of the controversy over Governor Stitt's calls to corrections, is suing to avoid returning to prison. She served only 73 days of an 8-year sentence for drunk driving crash that left a woman with severe brain damage. Corrections plans to return her to prison on November 1st. The gall of this horrible woman to pretend to be the victim here. Oh, my constitutional rights have been violated. We'll be talking about this one after the break. It's 77 degrees outside right now under sunny skies at 7:46. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out. Freedom traffic on this Friday morning. Expect some construction delays. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound I-44 at Klassen and on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd. That's Freedom traffic.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma. Letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's 4 times stronger than the traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part, our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor's ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Every election year brings a flood of political ads. Everywhere you look, there's a campaign message. But who's behind the scenes and paying for it, and what kind of influence could that money bring? The Oklahoma Ethics Commission brings transparency to that equation. It brings awareness to who's behind the candidate's campaign funding so you can educate yourself and vote with more confidence. The Oklahoma Ethics Commission, working to build trust in politics. Visit ethics.ok.gov to find out more.
Hey, this is Dr. Tony from Be Well Acupuncture in Oklahoma City. Are you not from around here? We can still help you with your peripheral neuropathy with our outpatient optimization program, which means we send everything you need to reverse your neuropathy right to your house. Be Well Acupuncture understands that traveling can be difficult when you are in pain, and we're here to help even from afar. Take the next step to your relief. Call 405-697-5121. Or visit BeWellOKC.com to get started today.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
And I'm so tired of hearing women complain about motherhood. Every other human on earth that has ever raised or given birth to children has had it tough. You are no different in society or in any timeline. This victimhood complex is ruining society.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. We made it, TGIF. It's Friday, August 28th, 2026. Still going to be pretty hot, though. We're going back into triple digits after a short break. Today, we're going to see mostly sunny skies with a high of 97. Tonight, it's going to be clear to partly cloudy, low of 69. Nice night to sit outside. On Saturday, look for breezy, sunny conditions and a high of 101. Then on Sunday, sunny and hot, high of 102 degrees. It's 70 and sunny at 7:50. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Well, The woman at the center of that controversy over Governor Kevin Stitt's calls to the Department of Corrections is suing to avoid returning to prison. Sarah Paulston was released after just 73 days of an 8-year sentence for a drunk driving crash that left a poor young woman with severe brain damage. Lawmakers later changed state law to prevent inmates convicted of causing great bodily injury while driving drunk from using the GPS program. Corrections officials plan to send Paulston back to prison on November 1st. Her lawsuit argues that the new law violates her constitutional rights, poor baby. Attorney General Gettner Drummond says Paulston belongs in prison. She absolutely does. Attorney Noble McIntyre is representing the victim in this case. He's joining us live right now. First of all, how's she doing, Noble?
You know, she's come a long way. When I first met her, she was in a coma longer than Sarah Paulston spent in prison,
wow.
Which is just shocking that that's how quickly Sarah Paulston got out of jail with the governor's help. At first, it took her a very, very long time just to learn to speak again. The effort to learn to speak, say the word mother was her first effort. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She couldn't do anything. When she finally was able to get up and around, she used an iPad to communicate. Eventually, with a lot of therapy, she has now gotten to where she can speak in broken English. She's doing much better in that regard when you consider that I didn't know that she would ever even wake up.
Yeah.
She's never going to live independently. She's never going to have a normal life. She'll never get married. She'll never have kids. She'll never have any of those things that we all want for our kids because that was all stolen from her by Sarah Paulston. So while she can at least now talk to her mother and live at home with her folks, her life will never be the same.
And neither will her parents.
No. I mean, I've said before, Michaela Morego, she lives in prison every day, the prison of a broken mind and a broken body, and her parents the same way. They will forever be taking care of her, and now they have that one dread that every parent has when they have a disabled child. What happens to my child when something happens to me?
Right.
Sarah Paulston's family doesn't have that same fear. Sarah Paulston's at home with the assistance of Stitt. And now she doesn't want to go back to jail. I get it. Jail's not a fun place, but it was her actions and her decisions that put her in this predicament, in this position.
100%. Now, Michaela was just a kid herself when this happened.
She was 19 years old.
Yeah.
She was leaving work. She was doing everything. She was a great kid, beautiful girl, doing everything that you would want your kids to do, making an effort to better herself. And she did absolutely nothing wrong. And yet you have an adult woman who in the middle of the day is double the legal limit of alcohol, on the way to school to pick up her kids. But before she did that, she stopped at a liquor store to pick up more alcohol, and we have all that on video, and that was found in her car as well, going through neighborhoods where the speed limit's 25, stop signs every intersection. She blew through every one of them. We have all that on Ring camera video, and then when she T-boned my client. So Sarah Paulston did everything wrong and has not paid a penalty for what she did.
And that's an important note, because she wasn't just, you know, a rich mom, soccer mom, who had a couple of drinks waiting for her kids to get out of school. She was loaded, dude. She was schnockered.
She had an alcohol problem. And I think everybody around her knew she had an alcohol problem. It would be a little hard for her to deny that now because apparently, condition of being out, she does go to AA meetings where you have to admit, I have an alcohol problem. I mean, to be that intoxicated in the middle of the day, yet still functioning so well. On the video of her stopping at the liquor store just moments before this crash, if you didn't know that her blood alcohol was double the legal limit shortly thereafter, you would look at that video and think, well, I mean, she's communicating. She didn't talk much, but she did talk a little bit to the register person. She was able to walk through the store and go right to the back. She knew where she was going. She'd done that many times and pick up more alcohol and come out and pay for it and go back to her car. That's a functioning alcoholic.
Alcoholic or not, man, I've got no sympathy for this person. And there's so many levels of this story that just make me want to throw up. First and foremost, the governor doing everything in his power to try to help this horrible human being get out of jail.
Yeah, but yet he lied about it.
And he lied
about
it.
He went on Channel 5 before he knew there would be a supplemental grand jury report. All he had was the first one. The first one came about because when I found out about all this, I called Gettner Drummond. I texted him and said, hey, you know, did you know about this? That was kind of the springboard and impetus that led into looking to this because there's no lost love between Drummond and the governor.
Right.
And unfortunately, we're just about to reelect a clone of the governor. But the governor knew about the first report, went on Channel 5 and denied it. He literally said, and you can go find this on Channel 5's Facebook page and on their website, He said in response to, did you do anything to help this person? Now, mind you, this is the wife of his high school friend and a college fraternity brother. It's the woman that he spent time in their home when he was running for governor, mm-hmm. and they helped raise money. He now, in this interview, refers to her as, quote, unquote, that inmate, when that was just to deflect and divert attention away from the fact he really knew her. And what he said on Channel 5 before he knew about the supplemental report was, I made one phone call, and it was to the Department of Corrections to say, this seems odd. Are we sure this is how the law works, or something to that effect? He didn't know that shortly after that, Drummond would release a second report that detailed 16 separate phone calls, which were followed by 16 phone calls from Rod Polston to his wife in jail that were all recorded that detailed the call that Rod had with the governor. So when the governor goes on Channel 5 and says, I made one phone call, that's a lie. When the governor goes on and makes other statements that he did nothing to help that inmate, that's a lie. And he can't run from the lie. It's because of him that she's out of jail after 73 days, and it's because of him that she now has the ability to try to fight this battle to put her back in jail.
The other part that makes me sick, every one of us makes mistakes. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. We can both look back on our lives and say, man, I did some really, really, really stupid stuff. But what separates good people from bad people is good people take responsibility for the mistakes they made. In this case, she's taken zero responsibility. She is the wife of a prominent attorney, and therefore she's better than everybody else and doesn't deserve to go to prison, regardless of what horrible things she's done.
Yeah, well, I personally strip away the title prominent attorney from her husband at this point because he's part of this game, too.
Agreed.
But,
agreed.
You know, he's doing everything he can to help his wife. And I've said before, look, I get that. If any of us have a spouse or a sibling that have done something wrong and faces some consequences, we're naturally going to want to do something to help our spouse as much as we can. But to do that while completely ignoring what happened to this victim and now to act the victim themselves, is the hypocrisy is pretty disgusting. And, you know, I've read the brief. They've hired some hotshot lawyers that I often wonder, did they not have kids? Would they help this if that were the case? And I wondered the same thing about Stitt. He's got family. Do you think Stitt would have done what he did for Sarah Polston if the victim would have been one of his own children? And
absolutely.
The answer is absolutely not. So everybody's ignoring Michaela Borrego, and now we're worrying about whether Sarah Polston spends another day in jail. She should be in jail. They've filed a preemptive challenged because they know that she's going back on November 1st. They don't want to wait until she gets arrested on November 1st because then she would have to spend time in jail while they go through this procedure. They're hoping to get an injunction before she November 1st. So they want the only thing they care about, the only thing they care about, and this was on a recorded call between Rod Polston and Sarah Polston, was her getting home to their family. They don't care about Michaela Borrego. They don't care about Oklahomans. They don't care about the law. They care about the Polstons.
And if she had even a decent cell in her entire drunken body, she would say, look, this is what I did. I'm taking responsibility for it. I mean, she's seen Michaela. She's seen what she did to this poor girl. She's seen the lives that she's changed forever and ever. She's seen that Michaela's parents will never have a grandchild, their child down the aisle.
Well, when she stood before the judge at the very end to try to get her sentence lessened, of course, that's when you make those commentaries of, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I wish that hadn't happened. But that's just in the moment. That's a play. That's just because you're trying to avoid the consequences of your actions. That's not what she really thinks. At least I don't think so, because you have to look at their actions beyond that. And every single action, other than the day when you stand there or when pleadings before the court, when you're trying to paint yourself in this great picture about, I go to AA, I go volunteer, other than when you're trying to weaponize that as a tool to avoid the consequences for your action, every other action has been me, me, me.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's both her, and that's her husband, and where's the governor on this?
100%.
It's not like the
Noble, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. I'm sorry I got to cut you off against a hard break.
You bet.
Please tell Michaela we're praying for her, and thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.